Órale pues, welcome to Chicano Highlights. I am your host, the Peto Man, Peto, and we have a very special guest here with us today, Mr. Pete Benavides, CEO of Blindness Support Services in Riverside, California. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Beto. Thanks for having me.
All right. Tell me a little bit about your parents and where they're from.
My parents are from Los Angeles, California. That's where I was born and raised.
All right. What are their names?
Pete and Virginia Benavides.
All right. Were they always there? I mean, they're like third, fourth generation Californians?
They are first generation Californians. Their parents were both from Mexico.
Okay. You don't know from where?
Chihuahua. Mm-hmm. And I believe Guadalajara.
All right. Okay. And brothers and sisters?
I have four brothers. Mm-hmm. I'm the second son of the second son. Mm-hmm. And I have a half-sister.
All right. Well, cool. Congratulations.
Thanks.
All right. Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up in East Los Angeles, parts of Los Angeles, and then we moved to Rosemead, which is about an hour from here, Riverside, and went to elementary school there, went to San Gabriel High School, worked a couple years in a factory, and then went to East LA Junior College, and transferred here to UCR in 1980.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your junior college. What was your major?
It was general ed.
Okay.
At that time, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I happened to be the first person in our family, and that includes cousins and the like, to go to college.
Okay. So you just transferred over to UCR. Why UCR?
You know, I remember back in the day, I had a good counselor, Robert Isamoto, and we traveled to Arizona State University. On the way back, we stopped by here at UCR, and I applied for both and accepted at both institutions. And then I discovered that the out-of-state tuition at Arizona State was beyond my means, and so UCR was a choice.
All right. Now, you grew up, and you don't have to give me exact dates, just you grew up around what era?
60s.
The 60s.
60s and 70s in high school.
Wow. All right.
I know.
All right. And so then, you've always had a visual impairment?
I was born with retinitis pigmentosa, known as RP/night blindness. It's a hereditary disease with no understanding by doctors today as to how and why there's a defective gene. There's been many a research done over the past 40 years. However, that's still going on, and there's no recognized cure at this time. There's some treatments, there's some suggestions. It slowly but surely robs an individual of their sight over time, but it's based on the individual. It could happen to someone as early as birth to 8 years old, or it could slowly deteriorate into your 60s and 70s.
Okay, so what do you see out of your eye then?
Pretty much nothing out of my right eye. I have about 20% to 25% of vision left of my left eye, mm-hmm. with more peripheral than central vision.
Okay, so that's what it means, though. RP means
retinitis pigmentosa.
Right, but it means that you see out of your peripheral.
Well, again, it depends.
Vision.
Some individuals can see more centrally with mm-hmm. no peripheral. Mm-hmm. I just happen to have the.
So they see like a tunnel.
Yes, they may see like looking through straws, is what I was told.
Mm-hmm. But you see through the side.
Yeah, I have a little bit more vision through the left side of my left eye.
Right, okay. So, and this is all technical because, see, a lot of people don't understand out there in the general public that, you know, there is something called legal blindness, right?
Yes.
So people with visual impairments that can see to a certain degree are also considered legally blind, even though they can see a little bit.
That is correct.
And everybody is at a different degree, you know, almost like a different temperature, right?
Yes, indeed.
And everybody can see in different parameters.
Exactly.
Right. And so we got the total blind being born totally blind from birth, and then to just being visually impaired.
Yes.
Okay. So we want to lay all that out so that people understand that. Now, as a youth, you were born with this, ¿verdad?
Yes.
All right. So tell me what the problems were in elementary, high school, junior college. What were your problems with your vision? Because, I mean, that must have really limited you from driving, ¿verdad? Did you ever drive?
Yes. Very little.
Okay. What about being a kid playing sports and riding a bike?
You know, I did those things as a kid, but as I got older, I noticed that I wasn't able to see as good as my colleagues then at nighttime. And eventually I discovered that I did have an issue with seeing and kind of kept it to myself. I was in denial. I didn't really talk about it with my parents much because they knew what was happening, but you know how it is. There's some guilt and anger and blame, and it was difficult for them to deal with it. And so we kind of kept it under the rug, and that took a long time to get over. But, you know, I participated in sports and different things, you know, baseball, football with my cousins and organized activities. You know, I even was pretty good at games that are in the pool table and things like that. And I learned how to play chess at an early age, you know, which requires vision. And I was able to do that okay. But it wasn't until my mid to early 20s where RP really reared its ugly head. And I remember one morning waking up, having coffee, and not being able to read the large print in the Press Enterprise.
Wow. Okay. So now at 18, you said that you started working at a factory. What factory?
You know, I remember it was a plastic factory, but I remember getting terminated because I was complaining about poor working conditions.
Yeah, that would do it. Huh?
And I got called into the office and they gave me a check.
All right.
And they said, this was your last day.
Okay. What'd you get your BA at UCR, UC Riverside?
Sociology.
All right. And what did you do with it? I mean, what did you start working?
You know, I started working right after graduation at Community Action Agency at the time. And I was I worked in the energy department.
Okay.
And
explain to me, what is Community Action?
Community Action was a county department that was the anti-poverty agency for the county. And I happened to get a job there. And like I said, I was hired to work in the energy department, which meant we went around the county weatherizing homes. In fact, I remember here at UCR, we were able to weatherize the housing here on campus for families.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So then after this job, did you find another?
Yes, I did. I worked with the Department of Mental Health for Riverside County. But I didn't make probation, which is 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
I was hired, and then 6 months later, I was assigned a new supervisor. And when he let me go, he was fearful. This was before the Americans with Disabilities Act. He was fearful that I would get hurt on the job, because I worked with a lot of institutionalized youth who, you know, who did some careless things as young kids, whether it was pyromaniacs, gangbangers, you know, drug abuse guys. And he was afraid that I may get physically hurt by some of these kids who happen to be violent.
Okay. What is the American Disabilities Act?
ADA. President Bush in 1990 signed a civil rights legislation, which was written and signed to somewhat level the playing field for people with disabilities in this country. And I believe this coming July 26th will be the 25th anniversary of the legislation. So I'm sure there's going to be celebrations around the country and in Washington, D.C. And so basically, that's why when people go around in their communities, they might see handicapped parking spaces, ramps, curb cuts. They might see grab bars in different state and city facilities and restrooms. All that is the result of ADA. And there's also part of the legislation which refers to public accommodations at parks and employment. Again, 25 years since the bill was signed, and you know, I'm looking forward to the celebration and the that will happen in July.
Okay, all right. Now, so from here, where did you go?
After I was released at mental health, I was asked to volunteer at a place called Blindness Support Services, which was a new nonprofit in the city of Riverside. And before I knew it, within 2-3 years, I was chairman of the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to study all about providing services to blind and visually impaired people, studied the nonprofit sector, worked 70 to 80 hours a week learning about government, what government can or can't do, and I started joining a lot of organizations that serve people with disabilities. And in 1995, the board appointed me as the first CEO for the nonprofit corporation, which, fortunately enough, I still hold that position here in 2015.
Okay, so how many years has it been?
God, I've been volunteering since 03, and I was hired in 05. So I've been the CEO for, it'll be 20 years this May.
Wow. Well, good, good. Congratulations.
Thanks.
All right. So now what does the Blindness Support Services offer for people?
We provide a variety of programs and services in which all of them are designed to promote the independence and self-reliance of blind people and people with limited vision. We also, one aspect of our business is to provide education to the public. Basically that, you know, if given the proper training and the opportunity, a blind / visually impaired person could live as independent as he or she wants to be.
All right. What departments do you have within the Blindness Support Services?
I'm glad you asked that question because we, over the years, we've developed and grown and evolved. And so our first one that I'll talk about is our children's department. Through a grant from Riverside County's First Five Commission, we provide services to children 0 to 5 who may live with a visual impairment, and at the same time provide services to parents who might be blind who have children 0 to 5. So we call that our Department of Children's Services. The other one we have is our Rehabilitation Technology Department. And we have a few instructors there in that department. And basically, they provide training on all the various technologies that are available for sight-impaired individuals, including computers and the use of smartphones. Really excited about that program. I've discovered in the last 10 years that in this country or this world, this is the right time to be blind because there's so many examples of how technology has made living independent and self-reliant a lot easier compared to 100 years ago. We have our Department of Older Adults. We have a grant, and we've had this grant for the past 10 years. It's monies designated by the federal government, Congress, that's filtered through the states, in which those dollars are designed specifically to help the older adult with a visual impairment to live independently in their home. The theory behind these particular funds is to keep an older individual in their home as opposed to being forced to live in a assisted living facility, which costs money over time. We have an independent living department where we provide independent living skills to people blind and visually impaired who not necessarily are over the age of 55 but live at home, and we provide the training necessary so they could do those everyday tasks that sighted people take for granted. We just recently hired a web designer. We know that as a business, we need to continue to adapt to a never-changing environment. And so we are now heavily active in making sure that the things that we do, the reasons why we do them, and examples of our successes changing the lives of people is noted. And so really proud of that recent accomplishment. And so we also provide training on the use of the white cane, otherwise known as orientation and mobility. And that is also an activity that we feel is important because blind and visually impaired people do need that particular training when they're walking on their own, whether it be in our city streets, our malls, our stores. Orientation mobility is that particular training that visually impaired people need to get around. I remember when I got involved using the white cane for the first time, it was a culture shock. But I think it alerts the general public that the person walking there does have an issue with vision, and it keeps people more alert, and I believe that it adds to the safety.
Okay, so we're looking at four departments so far: the children, the computers, mobility, and living skills.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
is that the four major ones?
Those are the four major ones. Mm-hmm. We're now embarking on what I'm currently referring to as Wellness 2000, and we're trying to address all aspects of what it means to be visually impaired. For example, when a person lives with a visual impairment, that impacts significant others, spouses, children, parents, friends. And so that may result in some emotional, mental difficulties or challenges. Blindness and visual impairment might result in obesity, lack of exercise, lack of eating healthy. It also leads to poor posture habits, soreness, back aches, neck aches, the like. So based on what we've learned over the past 12 years, because remember, we see blind and visually impaired people from all walks of life, all ages, with a variety of reasons why they lost their vision. But one thing they have in common is the things that I mentioned. And so I think it's now time for us to address this. And it's kind of exciting. It's risk-taking, but I think that's okay. We don't know how folks are going to respond to this new initiative, but I'm looking forward to really taking a look at it as it moves forward. And we're looking at perhaps adding another department within our agency.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the psychological parameters that a blind person goes through and then finds themselves at blindness support services. Now, a person will start losing their vision and they're in denial.
Yes.
This is a psychological thing. They don't want nobody to know. They're fearful. They start losing their independence, which is the greatest thing, is driving.
Yes.
They can't drive anymore. And now they're fearful. They don't want to stop driving because they got to get here to their point A to point B. But they're putting themselves in jeopardy, and they're putting other people in jeopardy because they could crash. So this is all psychological, and they're in denial for a very long time. Some people can take a year. Other people can take 20 years in denial. But eventually they find themselves going to a facility that caters to blindness, and the best psychological help that anyone can get is being around other blind people to see how they do it, how they manage. So we have, there's three major places, right? The Braille Institute, the Lighthouse of the Blind, and Blindness Support Services.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So how do you deal with people that come in and they're totally lost?
You know, I'm glad you brought this subject up, because I learned a lesson 12 years ago. I was asked to visit a guy who all of a sudden lost his vision. He's a carpenter. His wife called me. I went to visit his home without his knowledge of who I was, and he basically threw me out. He wanted nothing to do with any intervention. And he wasn't ready. You know, he was a proud man, took care of his family, and he felt, you know, what you were mentioning, the emotional aspect of losing one's vision all of a sudden, and he had difficulty. And I learned that day, never approach somebody before they're ready. So when a blind guy or gal walks through our front door or calls our office, that indicates to me that they're ready, and we're moving on with that, and we little by little introduce them to the many wonderful things that are out there to help them live as independent. You know, an organization like Blindness Support, you know, exists for four major reasons. One is to deal with the mental aspect of blindness. The second is to deal with the physical aspect of being blind. The third is to provide that training necessary to be independent. And the fourth is to educate the public. And like I indicated earlier, we're looking at a number five. And that would be, you know, for the lack of a better word, I'm going to call it the wellness aspect of visual impairment.
You know, that's all very, very interesting. So you deal with people, they slowly come in, you slowly integrate them into the blind world. And how do they react? What's their maturity? I know that everybody matures in a different manner, but hanging around the blind, being consulting with the blind, I guess growing with the blind, how do they feel?
You're right, and it depends on an individual. And when I try to get to know them. From my position, and it's really great to see and hear from my staff on how this particular individual has changed and has developed and are excited about life and are using the technologies or learning the skills to live independent at home, because we're changing lives. And even though as a business, I have to worry about that aspect and the dollars that it takes to do the work we do. But what's more important than that is the outcomes, you know, that we're now learning how to measure. In other words, answering the so what question. We do this and that, but so what? What does it really mean? And now we're addressing that with testimonials, with video, with audio, because the things that we're doing and the successes that my staff are directly involved in, we haven't really been good at telling that story, but we're making changes to that, and you know, the community will be more aware as we get better at that particular aspect. We know what we do. We do a good job what we do. We just need to let the community know in a more assertive manner, because the stories of success need to be told.
Exactly. And everybody needs to realize that, blindness affects everyone, especially right now. The major problem we talk about wellness is diabetes. And so then there's a lot of people that get the infliction of diabetes, live with it for a very long time, and slowly through either small strokes or eye pressure, they end up losing a lot of sight and end up going blind because of diabetes. People don't realize this, ¿verdad? And that's one thing that sends them to your office, ¿verdad?
Yes, and sometimes, unfortunately, it might be a little too late. The diabetes has, as you know, ran its course, and the sight has been lost. But regardless of when a person comes to us, wherever they are at, and let's just call it their rehabilitative process, we intervene. And I'm fortunate to be around people that work for blindness support, that they're experienced and knowledgeable, and they care. I mean, it's really something to see. All of my staff members really care about what they're doing. It's just not because they receive a paycheck.
Okay. So what's recommended is that people go to the Department of Rehabilitation first. That way, your department, the Blindness Support Services, can get funding to provide all these services for the blind, right?
It used to be like that, Beto, and I'm glad you brought it up. When we first began to develop our business, it was important to deal with those clients from the Department of Rehabilitation, because we had a contract with the department and we received our funds based on our training. But over the years, and businesses should, most of them practice not to put all their eggs in one basket. And so we serve people in the two counties, and we're looking at branching out to Los Angeles County as well. They do not necessarily have to be a Department of Rehab consumer. We could serve individuals regardless of their status. And although we do still partner with the Department of Rehabilitation, they no longer not need to be a part of that particular service. We'll work with them, but that is not a deal breaker.
Okay. All right. Now, where can people call, get a hold of you guys, a phone number, a website?
Sure. Our main phone number is 951-341-9244. Our business hours are Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. If you reach us without someone answering the phone, it's advised that you leave a message and we will get back to you within a 24-hour period, assuming you don't call us on Saturday. And our website is blindnesssupport.com.
Órale. All right. Any messages for the young kids out there that are having visual problems going through school and dealing with all of that? What could you advise them?
I would advise them to do something that I didn't do, and that is talk about it. Tell a teacher, tell your mother, your father, a brother or sister, and so that there could be some early intervention.
Okay, that's going to do it for us, Raza. We want to thank all of you for tuning in. This has been Chicano Highlights. I am your host, The Beto Man. We've been here with Mr. Pete Benavides, CEO of the Blindness Support Services here in Riverside, California. I want to thank you. You'll come back again, ¿verdad?
Sure will. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That's going to do it for us, Raza. Hasta la próxima. Ahí te guacho. Thank you for tuning in to Radio Aslan, KUCR 88.3 FM. Also streaming live on KUCR.org and rebroadcast on EastLAReview.com. Ahí te guacho.